Taloni, Talohani, Talofalava, Malo Soifu, Malelangi Mama, Kiorana, Malo Elelei, Fakalofa Lahiatu, Talofa, Kokumele Mele Puka, Mel, Mai Teama, Emomo Lava Pinkia, Petitato Tamana Italangi, Motana Tauhinga, Manahaka Manuyanga, Mugitato Uma. Te olo ma te malo e kumau e kita tau o ka tino e kita tau tamo hai na BNA. Yeah. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica Health.
Te Ama Pacifica Health, and today we are blessed and privileged to have Epati Fale joining us in the studio as our very special guest today. But as we normally do, we must first of all give thanks and praises to our Heavenly Father for his provisions, protections, and for the many, many blessings that he has bestowed upon us all. Therefore, we acknowledge his presence with us here this morning with the word of prayer. Tato tatalo la amataila tato proclame le nitaya fofaf taile lo folietua yavi epia lavalona alofa malona fa manuyanga moitato malamtaito tasi olmele ola amataina la tato proclame ele tatalo tato tatalo.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your wonderful presence in our lives. We thank you that your son Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Yeah. And so, Lord, we ask a blessing upon this program and upon this radio station and to all the listeners out there. Lord, we ask a blessing that not only will we be listening with our physical ears, but also with the ears of our hearts. So, Lord, bless our time with my wonderful sisters here and bless our audience as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pacifica Health, welcome back, and also to our beautiful listeners this morning. Well, again, as I sit here in the studio and looking at the window, yeah, there's a bit of breeze, but praise the Lord that the heavy rain, it's all stopped now, and we can be blessed with a bit of sunshine. We can hang our washing out without getting soaked. And so, yes, we have a Pati Fale practice manager, Anglican Trust for Women and Children, putting families first. So we are so blessed to have a Pati Fale with us here, right in the studio. And just a little bit about the Anglican Trust for Women and Children provides opportunities for families to improve life and parenting skills and supports parents in understanding the importance of safety, security, and happiness for their children. Our charity helps families on the basis of need, regardless of race, religion, or ethnic origin. And we recognize the three tikanga of Pākehā, Māori, and Pacific peoples as defined by the Anglican Church. So, I have a party here with me. You know, we've gone back a long way, and it's so good to have him. But I'm looking at him, and you're looking so handsome and fit this morning. What have you done differently from the last time there?
The last time you saw me, I was probably a little bit overweight. But look, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your program. It's a real privilege and honor. Thank you to the audience who have tuned in right now. A little bit about myself. I am a practice manager at Anglican Trust for Women and Children, where I've been based for 2 years. The last time Fale saw me, I was actually working for a wonderful DHB, the Waitapata DH District Health Board, working at Te Kanga Fohi, working for addictions, Pacific mental health and addictions in the Auckland area. So, yes, and I'm looking well because I'm training for the World International Masters Games. It's coming up in April.
Oh, wow.
So that's probably why I'm looking a bit different.
Now I know.
But the haircut is short because I'm actually losing my hair, so I'm styling it a bit differently now. But anyway, you look real awesome to be on the program, and looking forward to the next hour or so with the audience out there and all around the world, I hear.
Yes, 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 of course. Whawhetai lava, e patina. The question for you, where were you born?
I was born in Auckland. St. Helens Hospital, and I was born here and raised here, but my parents migrated from Samoa, of course, and my late father was from the village of Vailutai, and my mum is from the village of Vaiala. So I have a proud heritage, and probably one of the latest challenges for me is taking up the mantle of Matai titles and all that type of thing. So that's a bit of a journey for me, but that's a little bit about my cultural heritage, so to speak, Fale.
Yeah, Vaiala is a very, very beautiful place. So have you been to Samoa?
Yes, I've been a couple of times. I've enjoyed my experiences, and and some of it can be quite mixed as well because of the way that my parents painted the wonderful picture, but also some of the current realities of development and the influence of Western culture and how that's impacted on our culture over there. So I've had a good couple of trips, weddings, you know, those kinds of occasions, they call us to go over and celebrate with our family over there. So yeah, I have been back a few times.
Yes, thank you. So you were born here, and our parents have come from the island, say in the 1950s, 60s, even 70s. Some of them have, you know, moved over here. And the reason being is to give us, their children, a better future than what they've had, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, through the church and through growing up, one of the biggest influences in my life is my mum. Mum Tui, a wonderful woman, very humble, a lot of servanthood, one of the biggest values that she taught me. But, you know, my mum spent a lot of time sitting down with me doing homework, spelling words, going through the times tables. I don't think I would be, I'm not a bright spark by many means, but certainly would acknowledge my mum and my career and my education will be put down to those humble hours that she spent with me, doing my homework with me. So, yeah, thanks, mum. Oh. of the best.
Oh, well done. God bless. Well, now I know Epati has always had that gentle look. Now it's what he got off his mother, being humble. Now, that's really good. And you keep that up. And, you know, it's also time to acknowledge our parents, right? Do you want to shout out again to your mum?
Yes. My mum is now happily retired, so I'm really grateful for the New Zealand system, but also I'm grateful that my mum has recognised that she needs to begin to wind down and spend time with her grandkids. And in regards to that, mum has always been in the background. She's not one to put herself forward. She will put her opinion across. But one of the greatest things that she's allowed me to develop and grow is giving me the space to talk my opinion, but also to support humbly in the background. And I think her biggest wish for us now is really to make sure we look after our wives or our spouses and our kids or her grandkids. Mm. So that's one thing I can happily say I'm doing. Mm. I think I'm doing a pretty good job at. And so every time we get together, of course my mum has the biggest smiles and she's so proud of her grandkids. So thank you, mum. She continues to support us, keeps us in touch with family things and so forth. But also I just want to acknowledge my dad. And I'm sure some of our listeners might be able to relate. My dad was a bit of a tough guy, but certainly a guy that I know at heart level, he loved his children. And so just want to acknowledge my dad and the role that he's played in my life. He's probably given me the outspoken part of my personality. He was the type of man that would stand up in church and express his opinion, without holding back. And he was often known for telling the truth or how it is. So I think that's probably where I get a bit of that fairness and justice type of character in me, where I want to stand up, and that's probably why I joined social work.
Wow. God bless you, Tui, and also Epati, your father has left you prepared to take up that Matai title, so that's really, really good. And also Epati, being a practice manager, and also you are with the In Trust for Women and Children, would you like to tell us about your wife and your children, and to shout out to them as
well?
Yeah,
sure. Love to shout out to my wonderful wife. It's funny, I met a colleague at the Pacifica Festival and they acknowledged how great we looked. Mm. We're both on their physical journey, looking after our bodies, because that's really important in your 40s. But my lovely wife, she is looking absolutely stunning. She's probably listening on the radio right now. Annette, I love you. You're the greatest woman. Thank you for being such a great wife, but also wonderful mother to our two kids, Nathan and Kayla, who are probably at St. Mary's School in Ellerslie, having a bit of fun in the playground.
Well, God bless you too, Jenny. What a beautiful, loving wife that you are. Keep it up. We need more of you. So, Epati, now, can you please tell us a bit more? You've said a little bit why you become to do the work that you're doing right now. What really drives you? Why you do what you do?
I think the one thing that comes to my mind is probably experience, but also my church upbringing. And as I acknowledged at the beginning, my parents brought me up in the Efakasa Church, the Congregational Christian Church of Samoa, and we were based in a really awesome church in Henderson, which was pastored by Reverend Malua Peteru. And also we moved on to another church in Massey. And you know, some of the things that I've learned through that upbringing, humility, servanthood, sacrifice, standing up for what is right and fair and justice, stuff that I learned a lot from church and through my upbringing with my family. Experience, I think my experience in New Zealand, being raised Samoan in a New Zealand context, has been a journey, and I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that. When I grew up, there were stories that we had of, you know, sharing clothes, sharing food and all that type of stuff. I didn't know how different that was until I went to university and realized that not everyone had the same life experience. But even some of the hard stories, having physical discipline as a common practice. And that's something that that I've had to really reanalyze and, you know, kind of refocus on that area of my life. But it really taught me a lot, and I think it's what I bring into social work, and in terms of that stuff and being able to share and encourage others in my experience, and to encourage them in terms of their journey. The church has helped me to learn about forgiveness. And that's something I might be able to touch on today around being a parent, the ability to talk to our children about forgiveness and ask sometimes our children for our forgiveness, because we often don't get it right, and that's okay, by being humble enough to do that. So, yeah, in terms of what drives me, it's probably my experience growing up in church. A huge influence in my life was my friends at high school. I went to Massey High, and there was a group of us that, hey, we were on the fringes. We were doing things outside of church, but we were also happily involved in church. And for some of our listeners, they might be able to relate to that. Mm. But growing up and growing out of that, I realized that being a man and being a father and being a good husband, I've probably drawn more on my experiences in church in relation to the church that I go to now, which is Equippers Central. Some of the good learnings from there from Pastor Sam Monk and his wonderful wholetua, Kathy. But also I have a good, strong upbringing through Community Christian Fellowship based out in Kelston. Wonderful church. I was there for about 10 years. And if there's ever a church that has love and acceptance down packed, it's the church that's pastored by Derek and Judy Jones. Just want to acknowledge them as part of my spiritual heritage. So a lot of that stuff drives me in terms of the social work that I do. And the Bible talking about Jesus being a compassionate man, forgiving man, but also a man that instructed us with, commands or things that he urged us to live for. So that's probably what drives me.
Thank you, Epati. The good thing about, for myself, knowing you and working with you, that you've always had that passion. No matter what responsibilities you are put in, you've always shown that humility, that gentleness. And, you're saying it all. And, that's why I'm asking that question on air, because I know that you have a lot to share, that passion that you have. And, seeing you in our community, when it's an event and I don't see you, I actually miss seeing you around.
Oh.
Yeah. Because,
that's nice.
Yes. The reason why I say this, because you would see people, especially young people, looking to talk to people, and that you will stop and give that time. And as you shared about our upbringing, we've always been brought up to put God first. Mm. We've always been brought up to have that prayer.
Yes.
I remember my grandmother, as far as I was about 2 or 3, she would always get up early in the morning and then wake up, all you little children, we're going to pray. So
yes.
That stuck with me.
Yeah.
I said, when you put Jesus, God, first, you'll always be right. And that's how we connect, in our work, in our community. Yeah. And
I just want to comment on that I think a lot of us that have grown up in church, things like work and the busyness of this life, sometimes we can get distracted. And I think probably in the last 5 to 10 years, I've been able to refocus. I'm sure there's plenty of money to earn out there, but I've realized, if I don't have my family with me, my wife supporting my kids, I've lost the plot. I think I'm losing focus, and my life won't reflect my values that my parents taught me. So I've had the last 5 or 10 years been through some real tough things, stress, being depressed, that type of thing. Those are real things.
Yes.
And now I'm just on a journey of just getting myself back together again. And in a way, I've lost my life, but I've gained it through the things that I've learned. Yeah. So, look, thank you for saying that, Whalea. It's really nice of you to say that. I hadn't heard that from you, but let's talk about it on air.
Let's talk about it, yeah. The reason why, you know, like you've covered it all, families, if we don't have that family, because that's where we start the community. Mm. It's really home, family. So when we step out to go to the bigger family, yes, community, then, you know, we've got it all together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think our parents, they always said that, you know, that our kids are a reflection of the parents. And so that's something that I always pride myself. Look, I know my kids are not perfect. I don't expect them to be perfect. But what I instill at home is things around discipline, things around having self-control, them controlling their emotions. That stuff, I hope, will be displayed when they're out in the playground.
Yeah.
At the same time, if they fail or if they don't live up to it, that's okay. You know, it's with grace and compassion that I can build them up, re-instruct them, but not get them utterly cast down or make them feel discouraged, because I think my job as a dad is to really encourage them.
That's right. They do reflect, you know, what we teach them as parents. You know, the Bible talks about in Proverbs 22:6, train up the child they should go, the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart. So it's really up to us. It is our responsibility. Well, that is so awesome and great, you know, having to have this discussion on air. But right now I would like to introduce to our listeners our beautiful host and presenter, Adeline Taivaranga, that she will now ask you a first question.
Okay, thank you for coming in. And the introduction to this morning has been very informative, and is a great introduction to the purpose that you hear in regards to, we've got here the Anglican Trust for Women and Children. So if you could just share, I know like you've got very high values, family values, and you know you've had a great upbringing in the home and in the church as well. And Fale has asked you what is it that motivates you. So what I'll ask you now is if you could just say a bit more about what it is that you actually do and who you do it for.
For sure. My role is as a practice manager at ATWC. I'm very proud of this organization. And again, it is the Anglican Church, and that's one of the reasons why I selected it as, you know, a place that I'd like to work for. Mm. And obviously with Anglican values, you know, around compassion and talking about Jesus, the work that we do, I manage a team of social workers that are based in schools. Mm. I am one of four practice managers, and we cover schools that are from Avondale, Mount Roskill, a lot of central Auckland, more around the Ponsonby area, Onehunga, Mangere, Papatoi, Glen Innes, Pamua, Mount Wellington, and Pakuranga as well. And so we have the government set up a program where there were certain deciles that were targeted, and were able to get a social worker based at their school. And those are the schools that we're based at right now, and it could grow. And I will supervise and manage those staff that are in their schools. And I'm one of four practice managers at the at ATWC. So I'm very, very proud of the work that we do. I'm very proud of the organization and what it stands for.
That's great. Thank you for that. Can you just explain a bit about what exactly does they do while they're in the school?
Yeah, absolutely. So social workers, you know, looking at, in a real quick brief, really is looking at the needs of children and their families. And so it's as basic as helping a mother who's struggling to getting a new home that suits her family that's now growing. It could be assisting them with, you know, working with WINS to be able to get through or pay for uniforms and that type of thing. Work closely with the schools. The schools have some programs.
programs out there. One of them, really, really great program, is called Kids Can. Mm-hmm. And they will bring in uniforms, umbrellas, yes. and even food for breakfast programs. Mm-hmm. And our social workers will go in there and they might coordinate that with the school, or if the school's coordinating it, they'll be there to support them. But also the other end of the spectrum is that our social workers will support children that may be experiencing any kind of abuse or neglect. Mm-hmm. And also with schools, some of that is associated with the truancy or the absenteeism that happens for some of our school communities. And our social workers will be there to support the family to get them back into school, and also support and liaise with other agencies or professionals to keep their children in school. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's enough to kind of explain what the role is. Yeah. Social workers in schools.
Yes. I've heard of cases where, you know, kids just don't bother to go to school and the parents can't do anything. You know, you can't, like, whereas before, you know, the island styles, we do what parents need to do to get their kids up and, you know, going to school. But when you have a child who's in bed and doesn't listen, you know, what do you do with that? And the parent says, I can't even get the person out of, the child out of, what you know, what are the limitations? The parents feel limited, they can't do anything, because the kid turns around and says, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You can't even, you know, discipline me or whatever. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really difficult question, and it's something that can be quite complex. I mean, the main thing I would say is that the social worker works hard, as do the other professionals, to engage with the family and begin to talk about the importance of education. Also try and identify some of the key barriers. It could be as simple as, you know, are there habits in the home that are not helping? You know, I know a good friend of mine, Nick Tuatasi, he speaks about sometimes, you know, kids spending late nights practicing for church till midnight. You know, I can say that was probably a little bit of my experience as well. We love the church and we love what Jesus stands for and we love the people, but at the same time, it's probably realizing the importance of children and the importance of their sleep. You know, because if a child is not rested, their mind, their body, their emotions, their hearts, and sometimes their spirit is not willing to go or doesn't have the energy to do that. So it's exploring a whole lot of options, even down to the physical and natural aspects of getting sleep.
Yes.
But also sometimes, you know, school's not a positive experience for some of our children. So social workers are there to negotiate. Well, how can we change that for the child? I mean, I have a great number of staff and I find them quite motivational, inspirational. I've got quite a few Tongan staff at ATWC and I think they're great, what I call bridges, because they bridge New Zealand society and Tongan society very well, and they know how to operate in both worlds. You know, I think, you know, those kinds of parents are really helpful to the parents in the community that might not know how to navigate that or how to work through those worlds. So, yeah, definitely there's no easy answer, and those are some of the things that we will try and do. I mean, a few years ago it became a legal matter, but even more recently truancy is treated a lot more serious as a bit of a neglect issue. So sometimes, you know, some parents may not have the resource or the motivation to inspire their kids, and that's another part of the barriers that gets in the way. So it's not as easy as it looks, you know. So it's a bit of a complex answer.
I last week I had a woman come around our streets, our street asking me if I had any children in my house. Mm. She was actually looking for kids who had not gone to school that day.
I see.
And you know, it's a great thing that New Zealand has that service, because we actually show our families and our children that they really do care. Yeah, I've noticed here that you actually deal with parenting skills.
Yes.
Can you speak a bit on that?
ATWC, at the moment, and this is part of the reason why I'm on the program today, is really is to talk about Gladiators of Change. And with Gladiators of Change, it's something that was birthed roughly about 8 to 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually remember being part, I wasn't working for ATWC at the time, but meeting with a wonderful woman called Kirsten, I think it was Kristen or Kirsten Ward.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the social workers, and we had a meeting at St. Joseph's School out in Otahu.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, some of our parents are coming through and not really having, not really knowing how to adjust to New Zealand life and what it brings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pressure to bring lunches every day, the pressure to do homework with kids and all that type of stuff. So Gladiators was birthed out of that, and Nick Tuitasi was part of one of the original meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And Gladiators is a program where it's designed to bring people along that have similar experiences. And so we have guests that are of Māori or Pacific, you know, heritage. And a lot of them have lived their lives in New Zealand, and they will share their story. And some of them are positive stories, and some of them are not so positive.
Mm-hmm.
To give a balance that, you know, not everyone on TV has got the perfect life. Mm-hmm. Not everyone in the limelight or in the media has the perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're one of our guests who's very consistent is Alfred Ngaro. And he tells some great stories of how some of his decisions as a dad, he's had to reflect on and go, I could do that differently, or I could do that better. So Gladiators of Change is, we've got an event happening tomorrow at Otahu Intermediate, and it runs from 6 to 8, and we have Pio today. Pio is a wonderful Māori entertainer. You'll probably see him on TV eating a lot of seafood and kai. And he's very proud of that. But also one of his other passions is that actually how to encourage and inspire parents to take them to another level in their parenting. But also to see our kids thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to survive, but to really thrive and succeed in whatever it is, hopefully positive, that they've chosen to do. Peel is going to be presenting probably for the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second hour, we have guests, Jenny Salesa, well-known Labour MP. She will be presenting, and also a real inspiration to me is Ali Lauititi, who is ex-Warriors, ex-Kiwis league star.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, and I believe it or not, he's had a couple of kids, and I hear they're all girls.
Mm.
And in that second half of tomorrow night, they'll be on part of a panel, and I'll be asking them some questions around some of their experiences as parents. And then again, look, I'm not looking for the positive stories always. There's always some hard stories and hard lessons that some of the guests have had to learn. And so we'll hear about it tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But do you want to keep on promoting what this big event tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Gladiators is, there is going to be childcare tomorrow. So if you need to bring the kids, I've got a team ready to sign them in and also look after them while you sit and listen to the speakers on the night. We will have some food available from about 5:30 on. So if you don't have dinner, don't worry. We will be able to provide some food for you. There'll be a barbecue on hand. And you get to cook your own sausages.
Wow.
No, just joking. No, you don't have to cook them. We'll cook them for you, and you'll be able to enjoy them with your family. And so the program will start at around 6, and it'll finish at 8, because I know at about 8, 8:30, most parents are going,
I need to get my kids bathed. I need to get them ready. I need to get the lunches ready. So that's why I've purposely asked for it to stop at around 8 o'clock so parents can get away, grab their kids, and get them ready for the next day. It's going to be a good night, and it's free, so you don't need to bring anything, really. We'll provide some food to you. Peel is going to entertain you because he's so good at it. He has video footage. He's got some real good information through the parenting place whom he comes from. Has some really good resources. And on the night, we will have kete, a little bag of goodies with little parenting tips and little things that people can take away with them on the night. And we only have 100 available. So if you come to tomorrow night and be one of the first 100, you will definitely get a kete to take home with you. And they could have a fridge magnet, or it could be a little card to put in your pocket to remind you to stay calm as you're working with your child or your five-year-old or whatever. And those things are really valuable, and they can take them away with them tomorrow night. So it's going to be a good night, I reckon, if you can come along.
Just repeat where exactly this is.
So it'll be hosted by our wonderful principal, Brent Woods, at Otahuhu Intermediate, and that's on 22 to 24 Luke Street in Otahuhu. So it's hopefully not too hard to find. There is a cemetery in the area, and it's right behind that on the main road. I think it's Great South Road.
So we encourage everyone who's listening and who's available to come. You've got great speakers. Pio, we all know him. Jenny, actually, I went to school with her way back in PNG. Oh. I haven't met her, but good to see her again. So yeah. I'm very proud of what she's accomplished as well.
Absolutely.
And, so parents, come along, those of you listening in. It'll be a great night. Yeah. Just another thing, safety, security, happiness and needs. These are some of the things that I've picked up from some of the objectives, aims and objectives that you do with the organization that you're dealing with right now.
Yeah. I mean, one of the probably key parts of a social work role is really the safety of our children. And not just the physical safety, also the emotional, mental safety, but I would even argue the spiritual safety of our children, because one of the things we probably don't talk too much about is some of the not so good things that can happen in our churches. And I know that's probably a really difficult topic to talk about, and I won't go into too much detail, but sometimes the abuses that happen can happen in church as well. And we might use the Bible, or we might use some of the teachings in there to reinforce some of that stuff. So, like I said, it'll be another topic for another day.
Yeah.
But in terms of our ATWC, the social work program, we're always looking at the safety of kids. And sometimes that can work against perhaps what parents want or how they perceive safety to be. So that's often a discussion that we have with our parents is that, hey, look, we know there's some cultural understandings about this, but you need to understand what happens with New Zealand law, but also some of the things that research says and evidence says around, the mental health of your child and the emotional health of your child. That if you don't look after these things like self-esteem, like self-confidence and self-awareness, then a child could be vulnerable to growing up and having low self-esteem and low self-confidence. And that, in a worst case scenario, could lead to someone that could be feeling quite down and harm themselves and could lead to them not feeling the best and not wanting not to be here anymore, so to speak. So you know what I'm talking about,
Yes,
Eva.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to give you the details at this point.
Yeah.
You've been listening to a Pati Fale, practice manager, social worker in schools. Now, you can contact him or find him at Anglican Trust for Women and Children, 10 BT Street, Otahuhu. Telephone number is 09-276-3729, extension 9200. I repeat that. Telephone 09-276-3729, extension 9200. Mobile 027-801-9098. mobile 027-801-9098 Te ama.
Thank you, Fale. Thank you very much for that. Just another question. Can we just touch very briefly on, well, with the time that we have left, on women?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in the trust for women and children.
Yes.
So we've spent quite some time on the children. What about women, the services that you have for women?
One of the key services that Anglican Trust for Women and Children provide is a residential program.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't call it a residential. It's not the best way to describe it. But we have the opportunities for women that have experienced domestic violence,
right,
and difficult home situations with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to house them. We're able to provide therapy for them, or counselling. Most people know the word counselling. Or even just talking, or talanoa, or discussions,
mm-hmm,
to help them to rethink and to reinterpret some of their not-so-good experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And women and their kids are actually able to live, in a housed home, in a supervised environment. And we have some wonderful staff that have been there for a long time. One of them, Laurie Higgins, great woman, and get the support. We also allow them to have childcare as well.
Right.
And they're able to be housed and also get the support and some of that emotional, mental kind of safety, and build some resilience for them, and then be able to transition them into the community. And that program's called the Granger Grove Program.
Right.
And if you want more information on that, it's 276-3729 and ask for Laurie. Laurie Higgins is probably the main woman to speak to. She's a great woman, great advocate, really passionate, and she's been in the industry for so many years, so has a lot of wisdom. And that focus is really only for women.
But
you know, in regards to Gladiators tomorrow, it's all parents, all adults. And even as a young person, I knew I was going to be a parent one day. To be honest, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And so I think even when I was an uncle and didn't have any of my own kids, I tried to learn as much about parenting before I got there. So I think, hey, if you're thinking about having children at some stage, having some skills or some, things beforehand is probably going to put you in a better position and better preparation.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
Is there something unique or different about this organization compared to other organizations? What is it that's different?
I mean, I've been there for 2 years now. What I've enjoyed, and I don't think it's much different from other organizations, is really the ethnic makeup of our team. We have people that are of Muslim, religion, Christian, Mormon, but we also have people from different cultural kind of communities, and I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, but, you know, we have Tongan, Cook Island, Maori, Pakeha, South African, Fijian, Indian. We have a great mix of people, and I think that puts us in a good position in regards to trying to meet the community need. We're not the only organisation like that. One of the things that makes it different is that we are Anglican. Mm. And so we're able to talk about Christian values. And I know that our CEO, Judy Matia, does have a good relationship with the Anglican churches in the area, especially in Auckland, but also around New Zealand. So I just want to acknowledge the Anglican church out there have a great tradition and history in New Zealand. That I can really, it's a vehicle that I can just kind of board on and be able to continue the journey in terms of Christianity in New Zealand.
That's really cool, and it's great to know that you're not limited to just the Anglicans, because I was going to ask you a question, but I think you covered it. How do you deal with those who are not of the Anglican?
As with most services, we don't turn away anyone. Really, it's about meeting criteria. So if you're to access our social work in schools, you just basically have to be a student at school. And unfortunately, at this point, we're limited by the schools that we do service. So if you don't have a social worker in your school, it might be that you have to look out to the community for that support. Or ring me and I can try and put you in the right place.
Mm. you're put in a great position to assist, to serve, and also to bring hope and through your faith and upbringing and all that, which is such a wonderful thing to do. Is there anything else that you'd like to share, or, you know, in regards to the service, or what it is that keeps you keeping on in what you're doing?
One of the things that I picked up earlier on is that as a parent, that at times we have to ask our children for forgiveness.
Yes.
That's really, really powerful.
Yes.
I like that part.
Yeah.
Especially knowing you with learning humility from your mom.
Yes.
And it's a good thing that we should show humility to our children as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have a five and 8 year old, and you know, even I don't make mistakes. And what's great about kids is that they've got a really good memory. So if there's something that I've promised and I haven't fulfilled that, especially my daughter, she'll come and remind me. And often I'll just say, oh, sorry, darling, I got distracted then, or, you know, I forgot about that. But, hey, let's set another time and let's make it happen. But probably one of the things in my life that I struggled with was disappointment. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got disappointed and this and that, you know, when you watch general media, or maybe Western media, so to speak, you know, you see the dads going, I love you, son, and all that type of stuff. I know my dad loved me in a certain way. It just wasn't expressed in the way that I saw it on TV. But the value of what I've seen is I'm now enabled and now have the opportunity to express that and how my dad did it, which was often he would give me a little nudge, you know, on the cheek, and that's a bit of a what do you call it, physical touch, what I would call physical touch love, and it was a really nice, it was a loving way, loving little nudge on the cheek. I get to do that with my kids, but I do a lot more hugging than I would. One of the best times that I enjoy, and I was saying this to a team of friends recently, the best place to be, a lot of people name geographical areas, the best place to be for me was hugging my kids and being in their arms. And that for me is so rewarding, because I don't have to go far, I just have to go home. Yeah, in terms of forgiveness and stuff, I think you teach your kids that, you know, you can never be too proud to be corrected. And sometimes we need a bit of that, but let's not get down on it. Let's pick ourselves up, correct it, and get back on our journey again. So
just adding to that, you know, you're so right. Thank you. I mean, you know, you're reminding us all things that we're supposed to know, especially showing humility to our children and asking for their forgiveness. Life is too short. Life is too short not to be proud I mean, it's a miracle that we're sitting here right now, because a lot of people didn't wake up this morning.
Yeah.
Tonight will be
true.
Somebody's last good night.
Yeah.
So hey, come on, eh?
Yeah. Gee, that's really sobering, Fale.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things I like about our elders is, I don't know if it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. But our elders tend to be less judgmental, and I think a lot of that comes down to they know what the long journey is about. They know what a person's going to be in a few years, so they're not quick to judge. They're the patient one that says, I know he'll get over that. I know he'll become stronger. Whereas as a young person, you'll be going, oh, damn it, you did it. Oh, my gosh, you made that mistake. And we harp on about it. But the wisdom in being an elder is that they see the long-term journey. And I think sometimes, you know, I have to watch that. And I think I've appreciated some of the elders that I've had in my life that have said, hey, you know, Patsy, that's cool. You made a mistake. Fix it up and let's get back on track. Don't harp on about it. Don't dwell on it. And you know, there's that conviction and condemnation that comes with that. And to be honest, on that journey, that is not a healthy road. I think that's sometimes can lead us into things like depression and so forth. So, look, if that's a message that you need to hear today, please, you know, talk to someone. You know, give me a buzz, give me a call, email me, and you know, I'll be able to put you in the right pathway, hopefully.
Praise the Lord, and we've come to the end of our time, Epati. Thank you so much for, as you said all earlier on, there are more topics for another day. So please prepare yourself, you will be called back again. And you have one more minute.
Yes.
So one thing that you really want to your listeners to take away, but thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just speak personally here. We live in a life now that our heart is torn by so many things. There's so much pressure on our lives right now. And I want to tell you that sometimes we get caught in our own world. My thing would be to reach out and talk to someone. Get some help. There are people out there at churches, at ATWC, sometimes even in your own neighborhood. There might be an elder there that could just sit down and actually listen. And for those that are in the helping profession, please take the time to listen to those people and listen to our you know, our generation, because you'll learn out of it, but also you'll gain from it good skills that you could pass on to this generation. So yeah, look, we live a hard life, but please reach out and get some help if you need. It's great to be on the program. Thank you again.
God bless you. Keep up the good work. Te Ama Pacific House, you have been listening to Mr. Epati Fale, Practice Manager, Social Worker and School. Contact him on 09276-3729, extension 9200, mobile 027-801-9098. And also thank you to our beautiful presenter and host, Adeline Tavaranga. Kia ora, God bless you all.